Well, thank you, Mother Abby, for asking me to speak. And thank you all for being here this evening. You know, I thought I might look over the gospel and throw together some theology and some more scripture. But the truth is, that's what I do on Thursdays in men's Bible study. And the point of this service and the point of having parishioners speak is really for us to share a story from our own faith journeys. And so that's what this is. Tonight, this is just one of many stories in my faith journey. And lest you think that I had a sneak peek at Mother Abby's sermon this morning, or that she previewed mine, let me assure you that she and I arrived at similar themes for today, perhaps after reviewing our passage from Mark and reflecting on our shared military backgrounds in the wake of Veterans Day this year. I was in the Army for a total of 5 years, 4 months, and 18 days. That's what it says at the bottom of the form that they give you when you leave the military. So I have that memorized. And during that time, I spent a year in Iraq between 2003 and 2004, most of it in the city of Baghdad, a dusty capital city of about 8 million people, a city founded maybe 25 centuries after Abraham left those deserts for Canaan and Egypt. And as you might imagine, for a young man raised in the United States, I saw many wondrous things there. And as you might expect for a country that was rent by war at the time, I saw a lot of things that were not so wonderful. I saw and felt the cooling effects of a palm tree oasis in the desert, which can certainly feel wondrous and miraculous when temperatures are upwards of 115 degrees day in, day out. I saw the ruins of the ancient city of Babylon high on a hill across the open desert. I never got to visit it. Hope to get back there one day. I ate baklava, a dish that has its roots as deep as ancient Greece and Rome, and I ate it as often as I could find it from street vendors. And I shared tiny cups of hot sweet tea and scrambled eggs stuffed into the pocket of warm samoon bread. And I learned to be soothed by the muezzin's call to prayer from tinny-sounding public address systems creeping through the cool air just before dawn every morning. But I have other things that I carry with me from that time, or rather, things that God helps me to carry. I spent countless hours standing guard with my platoon over police stations, electrical utilities, wastewater treatment plants, municipal buildings, World Food Program storage sites, and many other mundane, boring parts of infrastructure that help a modern society run, but that are mostly invisible to the rest of us. And one day, while my platoon and I were standing guard in the heat of the day, one of my soldiers came over to inform me that a man was at our gate holding an injured boy in his arms. Now, standing guard at a post for hours on end, gazing off into the midday haze blanketing the Baghdad skyline, scanning thousands upon thousands of street corners, windows, doorways, rooftops, it's the definition of boredom. It is monotony in the highest, and you know, you might wish for something to interrupt all that boredom, but the truth is none of us wished for something like we saw on that day. And I will spare you the details, but it was about as bad as you could imagine. The boy was seriously injured and bleeding in multiple places, wounds well beyond our ability to give him much from our limited first aid supplies. I motioned for the old Iraqi man to bring the boy through the gate and laid him on a shady part of the sidewalk. The compound that we were guarding had been so ransacked by looters that barely a table leg remained, and the dusty sidewalk had to do for a gurney. I grabbed the first aid kit from our truck. I knelt, digging for a pair of surgical gloves. The child appeared to be about 5 years old, and he was not crying. I think he was probably in shock. We used one of our water cans to wash the boy's legs and feet, covered the wounds in antiseptic, and running out of individual bandages, we just slowly rolled every part of his feet and legs in an entire length of gauze, like a miniature mummy. And with little left to do but wait for word on whether we could get a medevac or not, I rubbed his lower back slowly, the way my mother used to do when I was upset. I said to myself, "Miserere, have mercy." Now, when Mother Abby asked me to speak about a moment in my faith journey, a moment where faith and real life intersected, where God became real, I have to admit, it was hard for me to think of just one representative moment. You know, there's never been a time in my life when I've had the heavens open up before me, or I've never heard choirs of angels, although the choir here at St. John's comes close. Now, my faith journey and the presence of God in my life, they're not about specific moments. For me, my journey is about much subtler transformations over a much longer period of time. It's been about recognizing God's hand at work in times when I didn't realize it. More often than not, my faith and my life intersect only in retrospect. You see, during my years in the military, I wasn't a particularly devout believer or a practicing Christian. I wasn't giving much thought to God when I was in Iraq, despite the Catholic chaplain who shared his cigars with me regularly. But I have no doubt that God was with me and my soldiers every dusty step of the way. I can't explain my time there in any other way. I can't tease out why some of us made it home all in one piece and some of us didn't. And I can't tell you what happened to that boy we bandaged on that hot, dusty day, 18 years and 7,000 miles away from here. I don't know whether he recovered or not. All I can say for sure is that God was with us. Perhaps that moment in the presence of my soldiers was enough. You see, God is not in a story of miraculous recovery here. God's not in a story of joyous reunion or tears of gratitude, because I have absolutely no idea what happened to that boy. He may have died, he may have lived and thrived. But I know that God is in the aftermath. God is the rock who bears us up under the weight of grief and pain. When rumors of war threaten our security and comfort, God is the only thing we can truly rely upon. God is our refuge and our fortress. When nations rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, God's strength gives us the capacity to love and to go on loving in the midst of all this, despite all we have seen and know in this world. God allows me to keep moving, to keep growing, to keep loving in spite of the toils and snares of this life, in spite of not knowing why things happen, not knowing what's going to happen next, not knowing where my journey will take me, not knowing what happened to a child who came into my life for a brief and harrowing time. But I know that God is with us, just like God has been with us and our ancestors since the beginning. God is in this place here and now. God is in the sun-dappled tree canopy as I drive home north on Duval Street. God is in the blue-tick beagle that greets me at the door. God is in the love of a good partner that grows stronger year by year. God is in the soaring beauty of music and worship, like the Miserere Me Deus by Gregorio Allegri. God is in the magnificent birds and other wildlife that grace our North Florida skies. God is in the joy and fellowship I find with men's Bible study. God is in the joy I see at watching young people grow day by day. God is what helps me carry on after the pain and cruelty of wars, in the aftermath of war, in the scars left on skin and souls. To take a page from one of my favorite poets, a man who knew something of darkness himself, Charles Bukowski, you can't beat death. But you can beat death in life sometimes. And the more often you learn to do it, the more light there will be. So I choose to seek the light in life, because I know that is what God asks of us in the face of dark times. God is the only thing big enough and complicated enough and mysterious enough to explain the wonders of this universe. And the only thing strong enough to bear us up under the weight of sorrow. Miserere mei, miserere nobis Deus. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on us, God. Amen.